We're going to be looking at some things that are incredible. It's something that the Lord spoke, not that all of the things he says is not incredible, because it is. But we'll be in Luke chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading with verse 16. But in verse 15 of Luke 14, a man shouted out when he heard Jesus speaking. He said, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And Jesus answered that statement with a beautiful story about a great supper. And so tonight we're going to look at some things that are very unique. In fact, I'm going to reverse this story. I mean, God can run over a lot of demons in reverse. Amen. And he can do a lot of good in reverse. Now, I know I had you sit just a moment ago, but let's stand for the reading of God's word. I mean, I've got to have a standing for the reading of God's word. Verse 16, Luke 14. "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." Now, supper was late hours. In fact, they worked in the fields. They didn't come into the home until dark. "And a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 20, and another said, I've married a wife." He didn't even say he had an excuse. He said, I got married, I can't come. Let me tell you, friends, women like to go eat to buffets. They like to go out to eat. That guy's got serious trouble as soon as she finds out that he canceled the appointment of a great banquet. "And therefore," he said, "I cannot come." So that the servant came and showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Did you know heaven's going to be a full place? Heaven's not going to look like a Sunday night service in a dry, boring church. Heaven's going to be packed. It's going to be full. Amen. "For I say unto you that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of my supper." We're going to reverse this because people are making excuses not to come to the great supper. Excuses are rolling off their tongues like peas off a shovel. And one says, "I bought a piece of ground. I got to go look at it." That's a lie. Because you don't buy a piece of ground and then go look at it, especially in the dark. And the other said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them." That's a lie. You don't go prove oxen that you bought without checking them, and especially try to plow with oxen in the dark. Says, "I married a wife." He is in the dark. "And therefore, I cannot come." We're going to reverse these excuses, and I'm going to talk about making excuses to the devil. Making excuses to the devil. You may be seated. The devil too has made a great feast for this world. The devil has trap after trap, calamity after calamity, The devil has this world lying in the lap of him. People are being bombarded with stress and worry and sin and darkness. And Satan has put everybody on edge. Satan is trying to wear out the saints. He's trying to keep everyone he can from being saved. Satan is working hard to keep the blinded eyes shut and keeping the minds occupied with the feast that he provides. The devil has provided a great supper too in this darkness. Now we know here that Jesus is showing us that the certain man is God. And God prepared a great supper. And he told everyone, come. And they began to make excuses. One, I bought a piece of ground. Two, I've bought five yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. Other says, I've married a wife and I cannot come. It made the servant, it made the master very angry. And so he said to his servant, go out quickly or go out and command and tell them unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house shall be filled. First, he tells him in verse 21, go out quickly and invite those in the streets and the lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Aren't you glad God takes in? Aren't you glad God receives rejects? Amen? Aren't you glad God takes in people that's been maimed, torn, broken? And so the servant said, go out quickly, or the master of the house, go out quickly and get them to come. And the servant came back to the master of the house and said, we've done it, but there's still lots of room. And he said, then I want you to go long distance. I want you to go, in our viewpoint, around the world. I want you to go out into the highways and the byways and go invite people to my supper so that my house shall be filled. The reason God's house is not filled tonight is because of people making excuses. The reason people are not coming to Christ today is because people are making excuses because they're too connected to the world. They're too busy eating at the hog trough of the devil, eating the swill and the filth of this world, too busy being occupied with their money, occupied with their prestige, occupied, too busy for God, too busy to go to church, too busy to serve God, and feeling like they have a good excuse to be lost. Now we know here he says that the man said, I went and bought a piece of property. He bought it without looking at it. He's going to go look at it in the dark. This is lantern time. This is torch time. Supper time is night. I grew up here in Missouri, and morning was called breakfast. And noon was called dinner. And supper, the evening meal, was called supper. Breakfast was fried eggs, scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage, big old glass of orange juice, some hot pepper, some salt, and just a good breakfast. Now that I've got old, I've been eating oatmeal. I'm getting practice for the old man's home. Cursed be that doctor that put me on a different diet. But breakfast was a big meal. Dinner was a big meal. We would come in from the crops, and I didn't do a lot of crop picking. I hated green bean picking, and I hated cucumber picking. But we would be taken out to the cucumber farms. Did you know they had cucumber farms around here years ago? green bean farms. And I'd go out and pick them, and we'd get paid, I don't know, maybe 75 cents a bushel. My dad would take me out there, and I'd pick green beans and put them in the bushel. Man, I'd have it full. Dad would grab that bushel, and he said, "Boy, that's not full." And he took his hand, and he pressed it down. And I said, "Dad, you destroyed my work." I picked a little longer. He come by, and I said, "It's full." And he took the bushel basket, and he shook it. It took me all day to pick a bushel of green beans. When I eat green beans, I eat green beans, but when I eat green beans, I chew them hard. I've got hatred in my mouth. I grind them things up. But we would come in from working the fields at noon, and we would eat a big meal. Beans and cornbread. Green onions, mashed potatoes. We're talking about dirt berries, real ones. Smashed, brown gravy. Amen. And we'd eat, and then Dad would say, "No naps, we're going back to work." And we'd go at dinner time, and then we'd work till dark and come home, and Mom would have a big supper. Fried chicken. Pork chops. I don't mean just fried chicken for the meal. I mean pork chops and fried chicken. Fried chicken gizzards. Chicken liver. You couldn't get me to eat chicken liver today. When I was a young boy, you'd look at chicken liver, and chicken liver looked kind of healthy. Now you look at chicken liver, and you think it's got the COVID-19. So I don't eat it. Growing up here, breakfast was not a bowl of oatmeal. It was a big meal. Dinner was not lunch or brunch. If you went to work and took your sack lunch, that was not called dinner. It was called lunch. And lunch is a Twinkie and a bologna sandwich smothered with mustard. And a potato chip bag that actually had more than 10 potato chips in it. Amen. I don't know how they do it today. The chips get smaller and smaller in the potato chip bag, and then they blow air in it. When you buy it, you've got this big expanded bag, and there's 3 chips in it. We're living in perilous times. Surely the Lord's about to come. Oh, I need to back up. We need to back up on these scriptures because, you know, when they made excuses to Jesus, made excuses to that certain man, which is God, who made a great supper, everything was ready. I mean, everything. You don't even have to clean up yourself. He cleans you up. He puts a robe on you. I mean, everything's ready. We're talking about a banquet. We're talking about a supper that everything's ready. The meal's ready. The table is set. The chair is there. The plate's laid out. It's ready to go. All you have to do is sit down. And when you walk into the room, a servant will wash your hands and wash your feet. You'll sit down at the table and you eat because all things are ready. And I want you to know Jesus Christ has provided that for you and I. Everything's ready. He washed our soul. He cleansed our heart. He gave us eternal life, and he makes us sit at the table even when we're sitting at the table surrounded by our enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff they cover me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I can come to church and have a spell. I don't have to stay home and have a spell. I can come to church and love God and give God praise. Why? Because God has got it all ready. We're saved by the grace of God. We're saved by the blood of God. We're redeemed by the resurrected Son of God. There's nothing we have to do except pull up to the table and say, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your grace, and let Jesus Christ change our life. Yet there are people that make excuses. They make excuses not to get saved. Well, I'll get saved when I get cleaned up. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Get saved when you get clean. What do you think getting saved is? Amen? You better quit talking that way, preacher. You'll offend me. Trust me, the bartender's offended you long before now. I'm on your side. So we look at these people making excuses. Now, I want to change this, because I know the devil has made a great feast or supper in this late hour. Supper is a dark time. It's a late hour. We're about to run out of time. And the devil has made a great feast for this world, sinful, wickedness, all kinds of perversion, lies, untold heartbreaks, and untold deception. The spirit of deception is in the land. The big lie is everywhere. The world is infested with a false sense of security that Satan has provided. Satan has planted in your mind, you don't have time for God. Satan has planted in your heart, you need something other than God. Satan has planted in your mind that sin's important in your life. You can't live for God. I got news for you. No one can live for God. But when Jesus Christ steps inside of you, he'll live for God through you. Say being born again is impossible. You got that right. But Jesus Christ can do the impossible. So let's just reverse this. Let's run over some devils for a little bit, okay? Let's make some excuses to the devil. He's made a great feast in this late hour, and we need to tell him we cannot come. Notice it says, I bought a piece of ground, therefore I cannot come. God bought me and you a piece of ground. And our piece of ground is not in the darkness. It's where the sun never sets. Our piece of ground is where there is no night. God has bought me a piece of ground. And I am convinced and determined with all my heart to go there and see it. And I say to the devil, I cannot come because my God has bought me a piece of ground and I must go see it. Woo! In my Father's house are many mansions. He didn't only buy me some raw land like this guy is talking about. Jesus bought me a mansion. He bought me a place of goodness and grace and mercy, and he bought me a piece of ground. I must go see it. And I'm not going to tell the devil, I pray thee, excuse me. I'm going to tell the devil, my excuse is better than anyone's excuse in the whole world. I'm going to look at that piece of ground that Jesus Christ bought me. Amen? And we need to tell the devil that God has purchased us something more valuable than anything on the planet. He's purchased us a piece of ground. Therefore, I cannot go to the swill holes. Therefore, I cannot go to the things of this world. Therefore, I cannot go to the devil's table. Amen? Now, the other excuse was, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. So it's probably a farm. He said, I got to go prove those 5 yoke of oxen. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, let's tell the devil something. Jesus bought me a farm. And now I have a real job. Jesus bought the farm. Have you ever heard the statement, Jesus bought the farm? Yeah, you ever heard the statement, the man bought the farm? Anybody ever heard that statement? He bought the farm. That means he died. He bought the farm. He had great plans to buy a Ponderosa. He had great plans to have mansions and have silver and have prestige. And he worked all his life, but he bought the farm. He died. Well, I want you to know Jesus bought the farm. He bought the farm. He bought the farm full of pain and agony and full of destruction. He died on the cross of Calvary. He bought the farm. He not only bought the farm, he bought the world. He bought you and I. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus bought the farm. But the good thing is, Jesus Christ was put in a little grave, a tomb, but the grave couldn't hold him. Jesus Christ arose from the grave. Jesus bought the farm. He redeemed me from my sins. He gave me eternal life. And now I can say to the devil, Jesus bought the farm, and now I have a real job. Hello? I have a real job. I have real life. I have real love. I have real purpose. I have real joy. I have real peace in my heart because Jesus bought the farm, but he rose again from the dead. He paid the price and gave us all eternal life through his resurrection power. Amen? How's that for telling the devil, making some excuses to the devil? Pretty good excuse, huh? Jesus bought me a piece of ground. I got to go see it. That's a good excuse. Satan, I'm not lying either. Jesus bought me a piece of ground. And Jesus bought the farm, and he rose again from the dead. And now I have a real job to tell other people about Jesus Christ. A real peace, a real job in my life that I can live for God. A real purpose in my life to walk with God, love God, serve God. Why? Because Jesus bought the farm. He died on the cross of Calvary. He bought me with his holy blood. He rose again from the grave. And today, you and I have a real identity in Jesus Christ, a real life, a real peace, a real joy, a real power in our life because Jesus Christ arose from the grave and gave us real life. And I say to the devil, Jesus bought the farm, and now I have a real job. Now I have a real place to go. Now I have a ground that's been purchased where the sun never goes down. Now I have a place that I can live for God and serve God. Notice the man with the wife. Oh, he's a good one. He's a good one. That woman better check her wedding license. He's a weasel. Anybody that hides behind his wife is a weasel. He said, I can't go because I've married a wife. And he didn't even ask to be excused. He thought, surely having a wife is the best excuse that anyone could have. Amen? Hello? Some people have the excuse, well, I have friends, therefore I cannot come to Jesus Christ. I have a job. I have things I got to do. Therefore, I cannot come to Jesus Christ. But I want to say to the devil, I'm in love with another. Therefore, I will not go to the feeding slop trough of the devil. I'm in love with another. Therefore, I will not go eat from the devil's table. I will serve God, honor God, love God, because I have a love in my heart for Jesus Christ. And I'm in love with another. I'm not in love with the world. I'm in love with another. I'm not in love with sin. I'm in love with another. I'm not in love with lying and cheating and wickedness and covetousness and lust. I'm in love with another. I'm not in love with darkness and deception and lies and deceit. I'm in love with another. Hello. I'm in love with Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will not go to the devil's feast table. Amen. I'm in love. I heard a story about a little boy. He had never been away from home. He'd never spent the night at his buddy's house. He had never been away from mama. And the little boy, just a tiny little thing, says, I want to stay at my buddy's house. I want to spend the night with my friend. And his mother said, honey, I don't think you're ready, but I'll let you go spend the night with your friend. And the little fella, about midnight, he calls mama. Mommy. Mommy. And mama says, what's the matter? Are you homesick? No, I'm here sick. And I want you to know I'm here sick of this world. I'm here sick of sin and death. I'm here sick of Satan, sick of his deception. I'm here sick of what's happening in the world. I'm here sick of this filthy wickedness because I'm in love with another. Not everybody agrees with the interpretation of the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon has about five different interpretations, and it has one that's correct, and that's mine. If you've ever read the book of the Song of Solomon, it is a twister. But love's a twister. The Song of Solomon, I believe, plays out pretty clear. In verse 2 of the Song of Solomon, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I want you to know, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, and this is his mouth. And let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I've not come to condemn you, but to give you eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's kisses from God. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's kisses from God. Your name is written down in the book of life. Rejoice. That's kisses from God. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's kisses from God. We look at the scriptures. We see the blessing of the word of God. And I want to say, let him kiss me. I'm in love with the Bible. Because the Bible is the breath of God. And I say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That's what he's doing to some of you right now. He's kissing you with the kisses of his mouth. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. We live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. It is the kisses of Jesus Christ that resuscitates us when we're so low and despondent and despair. It is the kisses of Jesus Christ that brings us back on our feet and with peace in our heart and joy in our soul. Amen. Let him kiss me. When I'm depressed, let him kiss me. When I'm down and hurting, let him kiss me. When I'm don't know I can go another mile or can't take another step, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. When I don't know where to turn or what to do and I'm confused, let this Bible kiss me. Let the word of God kiss me and kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Woo! I'm preaching better than you're responding. I'm almost done. You've heard preachers lie before, haven't you? The Song of Solomon has different interpretations, but you have characters in Song of Solomon. You have Solomon, who's the writer of the Song of Solomon. You have the Shulamite girl, and you have the shepherd boy. Then there's the watchmen and the keepers of the city, and there's different names. There's the handmaidens, the other daughters in daughters of Jerusalem in there. So you have several characters in there. The common interpretation is that Solomon is the shepherd. I disagree. Solomon was a dirty, nasty old man. He was a womanizer. He had 1,000 women. Come on, you figure that out. Solomon was pretty much backslid at that stage. And he decided that he would add one more pretty girl to his palace. And he took the Shulamite girl into his palace. And Solomon tried everything he could to seduce the Shulamite girl. But she said, no, I'm in love with another. No, I'm in love with my shepherd. So she had spent time with her shepherd out in the fields. I'm in love with the shepherd. So Solomon tried everything he could. Solomon, a picture of the world. And the world tries everything it can to suck you away from the shepherd. The world tries everything it can to pull you away from our shepherd. And we shall not want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, John chapter 10. Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. It is Jesus Christ who is the good shepherd. And Jesus Christ being the good shepherd, we turn to him, and we know that the world's trying to seduce us. The world's like Solomon trying to pull us to impurity, filth and impurity of life. The world's trying to get us away from God, away from the things of God. And Solomon kept trying to seduce this beautiful girl, and she said, no, I'm in love with another. I'm in love with the shepherd boy. I love that, don't you? Hallelujah. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. He brought me to the banqueting house. And his banner over me is love, or was love. Stay me with flagons. That flagons was a really good raisin pie or cake. I mean, like raisin pies. I mean, lots of raisins and walnuts in it. Raisin pie. Those are not for diabetics. But she said, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. That means she was lovesick. She missed her shepherd. Let his left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. Now, I would show you how that works with Jerry, but it would be awkward. And I would show you how that works with Judy, but she's not in here. And if I dropped her, you'd be finding a new pastor next week. But what he's showing is he has his left hand under my head. His left hand is there. He embraces me. His left hand is under my head. And his right hand embraces me. He's like this. And she's laying with her head in his left hand. He's holding her by the waist with his right arm and hand. They just got through dancing. They're about to kiss. Trust me. It's okay to dance with Jesus Christ. Hello? It's okay to get happy about Jesus Christ. I have to say this morning was a wonderful time in the Lord for me. The Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, the watchman that went about the city found me. She had ran away from Solomon. And the watchman went about the city found me, and they smote me and wounded me. The keepers of the wall took my veil. They embarrassed me. That's why I know this is not Solomon. Solomon is not her lover, because if Solomon had been her lover, these guys would have died. He wanted to be her lover. And they beat her, embarrassed her, taking her veil away. I charge you, she said, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I'm lovesick. I miss him. I can't tell you the times that I feel lovesick for Jesus. I can't begin to share with you the thoughts. At moments, I feel like I can't go another step. But I'm lovesick for Jesus' return. I want him to come back so badly. Because I'm in love with another. I'm not in love with this world. I'm not in love with what's going on. I'm in love with the pure, eternal, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, my shepherd boy, my shepherd God. There's something about that Shunammite girl, and I'm going to wrap this sermon up because I told you it would be evangelistic, and evangelistic sermons don't last for eternity. There was a Shulamite girl that laid beside David when David was dying. And the Shulamite girl was a very pretty young girl, virgin. And David couldn't get warm because he was dying. And they brought the little Shulamite girl in, and she laid beside David but never knew him. David never knew her. There was no sexual encounter. And I believe that's why Solomon, David's son, really was obsessed with that girl. And he wanted her so bad. And so Solomon captures her. David is a picture of Old Testament law. David is a picture of the tabernacle, of the temple of God. Solomon builds a new temple that's much different from what David wanted, but David didn't build the temple. David only had tabernacles. But David could not have a relationship with this woman, this beautiful girl, because he was not able. And the law is not able to have an intimate relationship with you. The law is not capable of saving you. It only damns you. The law is not capable of having relationship or romance with you. It only condemns you to a life of weariness. Woo! Praise the Lord! I know what I'm about to say. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first chapter of St. John, and Jesus Christ could bring us to the place where we can have a relationship, for he is the shepherd, and he is calling a bride, and we are his bride as born-again children of God, and Jesus Christ is calling us into an intimate relationship, and someday, we'll meet the other person, Jesus Christ. Someday, we'll meet that one I'm in love with another. Someday we'll be caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. Someday there'll be a marriage feast of the Lamb. Someday there'll be a wedding. Someday there'll be a great shout and a great blessing, for we will be the bride of Christ, and we will then be able to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Until then, we just kiss a lot. We just love a lot. We just love sick a lot. That's, Don't look at me like that. If you keep looking at me like that, I'm going to read the book of Solomon to you. The book of Solomon is, it's not meant to be nasty except to the nasty mind. It's a book of romance. Amen. So my question to you is simply this. Are you making excuses to not be saved? Are you making excuses that you can't live for God? Are you making excuses that you can never please God, that you have a past that's so bad that God cannot forgive? Are you making excuses? Don't. If you're going to make excuses, make them to the devil. Jesus has bought me a piece of ground, and I got to go look at it. Jesus bought the farm, rose again from the grave, and now I have an honest relationship with God. And Jesus wants you to love him. Jesus does not want anyone in this room to be forced to love him. There is no desire for Jesus to force anyone in this room to love him. He wants you to come of your own accord. He wants you to come and say, I am now denouncing the world. I am now going to serve Jesus Christ. Salvation is a covenant. Salvation is a movement of God in your life. Salvation is a deliverance. Salvation is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. Don't make excuses. Your past is taken care of through the blood of Jesus. Don't make excuses. I can't live for God. Well, none of us can. But when Jesus gets inside of us, he lives for God through us. Amen. So I'm going to ask you simply this one. I'm going to beg you today. I'm going to beg you tonight. Stop the excuses and run to Jesus. No more excuses. All things are ready. God has did everything in his power to give you eternal life. And if you go to hell, it will be because you made too many excuses. And hell is going to be filled with people that have made excuses because they were not willing to have their lives literally changed by the power of God. Now, you just heard an evangelistic sermon. And I want to ask you today, I don't know, I'm sure that there's a few people in this room. You say, how can you say you're sure? Because we've got some people in this room. I'm convinced in my heart there's some people in this room that needs to be saved. You need God to come into your life. You need to be born again. I'm convinced that there's people sitting in this room and you need to leave the excuses alone and give the devil the right excuses. Say, no, I'm not going to eat at your table. Devil, I'm not going to bow to your swill and your devices. I'm going to, because Jesus has bought me a piece of ground where the sun never goes down. Jesus Christ has bought me a piece of ground. He's bought heaven for me, and I'm going to go see it. And Jesus took the farm. He bought the farm, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again from the grave, and to him, I got a real job. I got a real farm. Well, I can't come to God because of my friends. Well, if your friends are keeping you from coming to God, they're not your friends. No excuse. No excuse. We're going to give an invitation. I'd like for everybody to stand. No excuse. There's no excuse for anyone in this room to say no to Jesus Christ. There's no excuse for anyone. There is not an excuse for anyone in this room. You have no excuse to live in your sin. You have no excuse to live in your darkness. You have no excuse to walk in your rebellion. You have no excuse. There is no excuse. You must come to Jesus Christ. No excuses. No excuses. I want to invite you to come. Step out from wherever you're at and make your way. Yeah, but my past. What? No excuse. What will people think? No excuse. No excuse. Let's make excuses to the devil. Let's tell him, because they're real excuses. They're real reasons. Jesus has bought us a piece of ground. The real reason Jesus has bought us eternal life. The real reasons Jesus can be a person's love. I have another love. I don't love the world. I have another love. I don't love the wicked things of this world. I have another love. I want to invite you to come, because if you don't say yes, if you make excuses, God said in His word, you shall not eat of my supper. You shall not eat of my bread.